Another day and another Hugh Freeze quote taken way too seriously.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it on this Wednesday. Getting closer and closer to playing football again. Feels like it's been a month. Got Missouri on Saturday, and as it creeps closer, you have press conferences, you have sound bites, and another Hugh Freeze quote that honestly I thought was an incredible compliment is being used all over the place, understandably some by Missouri and other outlets around the SEC to once again call out something he said and take it a little bit out of context, blow it out of proportion. It's just another day, and until we get this thing turned around, I feel like this is just going to be more of the same. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus up to $1,000. So you can give them up to, I guess, $500. They'll give you another $500 back on top of it to play with. Just use coupon code NEXTROUND. You can hit the sports book, literally any sports betting line you can imagine, they have it. Very easy to use, very easy to navigate, easy deposits, easy withdrawals. A lot of fun. Check it out, mybookie.ag. So this actually was the Monday press conference, but I'm only just now, I watched it, but I didn't think anything about it until I'm starting to see more and more made about these comments he made early in the press conference. It was kind of in his opening monologue. He sort of previewing the next three games, talking about the coaches and the jobs they've done. Thought he made some glowing remarks about all three. I'll let you be the judge. We're going to listen to the clip and then break it down shortly thereafter.
Obviously a very difficult schedule ahead. Two games on the road at two really teams that are playing really, really good football. And it starts at Missouri this week, and they've won seven straight home games. And I think Eli does I know everybody has their rankings of coaches, and it's based on, and to me, the better talent you have, the better coach you are, for sure. And to me, some of the better coaching jobs are done with those lesser rosters in recruiting. And I think you look at people like Eli and Stoops and Head Clark Lee now too, that I think are doing incredible jobs at their respective programs.
Just type in Google, and you just type in Hugh Freeze lesser rosters. Here's some of the headlines you hear. Auburn's Hugh Freeze provides fuel for Mizzou's lesser roster. Thanks, Hugh, for the extra motivation. Hugh Freeze says Mizzou has a lesser roster. Hugh Freeze, in compliment in quotation marks, describes his next three opponents. In other words, they're trying to say he was being sarcastic, or it's a backhanded comment. Hugh Freeze says Missouri has a lesser roster. Hugh Freeze impressed with Mizzou's lesser roster. Hugh Freeze provides next opponent with bulletin board material. I mean, just one thing after the other. You just type that in, and that's what you get. Now, if you're just being honest with yourself, if you listen to that, and that's what you come away with, I worry about you. I really do. I mean, that is a guy who's describing the next three opponents, and he's saying glowing remarks about the coaching jobs. Eli's one of his best friends, and he goes on later to say it. Eli's one of his best friends in the coaching business. You got three guys, and we'll go into a little bit deeper of what Hugh's talking about. You've got three guys that you know, are at programs that historically struggle to be able to get some of the top end players, and they're winning at pretty high levels. And I think that's what he's saying. What's more impressive? What Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky, or Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri? Or is it, you know, going and winning with the best players you have every single year? I mean, let's talk about Ryan Day. Ryan Day, who has the best rosters money can buy every single year. For whatever reason, he struggles, for the past several years, it was beating Michigan. What's more impressive, what he's done or what Eli Drinkwitz has been able to do at Missouri, that's just not a traditional football school. They're playing really, really good football. And again, we're going to go into the details of that in a little bit, but it just goes to show you, I mean, and I'm even seeing some Auburn media that are like kind of not raising Kane or making a, you know, saying it's a huger deal than it is, but, you know, just commenting on it. I don't know that I would have said that, or Hugh Freeze puts his foot in his mouth again, like stuff like that. And whether it's, you know, the coaches, whether it's throwing players under the bus, which is a joke, something like this, it doesn't matter what it is right now. Hugh Freeze seems to be an easy guy to want to pick on. And I don't know if it's from, I assume it's probably some of his past. I assume it's, you know, just maybe his, I don't know if it's his faith or what it is. He just seems like a really easy guy, a really easy target to pick on. And they're really, really going hard after him, basically, after everything he said. And all he was doing is, I mean, I think he loves Eli Drinkwitz. He loves Eli, and he's really, really pumping him up, and all the way down to Clark Lee. But just to give you some perspective to what Auburn's about to go do, the little run Auburn's about to go on, you know, just to kind of give you an idea of what he's talking about, Missouri – since Drinkwitz has been there, has never finished higher than 17th in recruiting. That was one of the things Hugh mentioned specifically. He's like, look, they struggle to recruit, but they're still, that's what impresses me. They struggle to recruit at these schools, and they're winning. Missouri's won 16 of their last 19 games. Like you just said, I think 7 in a row at home, and becoming a pretty solid, you know, ball club. And what's funny is they're starting to actually be able to get some higher end skill guys out of high school. And then obviously there'd be a pretty good portal destination as well. But yeah, I mean, you've never finished higher than 17th in recruiting under this guy, and you've won 16 of your last 19. I mean, I think that's a phenomenal coaching job, and you're about to go on the road and take on those guys. And again, we got multiple days left to talk about that. Kentucky, I mean, I don't have to talk a whole lot about it, but Kentucky's only finished 17th since Stoops has been there. That's their highest recruiting ranking, but typically they're in the mid-20s and up. But unfortunately for Auburn, that one year that they finished 17th, those guys are now juniors and redshirt sophomores. So that highest ranked recruiting class they have, those guys have been in for multiple years now. And Kentucky's got a top three defense now in scoring and yardage given up. Like they're playing really, really good football. And then obviously you look at Vandy, they're going to finish dead last in the SEC in recruiting every single year. And now Clark Lee has won, I think in his first 3 years, he won 2 conference games overall, and he's won 2 this year already. So, again, that's just sort of the facts. These guys are doing incredible jobs at these schools that are not traditionally football schools. They're not traditionally football schools. They're not traditionally have tons of success, especially on recruiting and on the field. And you're about to go up against them. And that's what – kind of what Hugh's saying here is like, look, don't let the recruiting rankings fool you. These dudes are really good football coaches. But again, it's a thing that whatever he says right now, anything he says is seems to be under a microscope. Anything that he says is being watched with a fine tooth comb, going through with a fine tooth comb, trying to find something that they can sort of throw against him, pin against him. And it's just, it's sort of getting exhausting. It really is, because you feel like you have to get on and defend things that you shouldn't even have to defend. A lot of it's just common sense. And I think that's, you know, that's the state of the media. That's the state of, you know, us in general and how we consume media. It's all sound bites and things like that. So it's getting a little exhausting, but how do we fix it? How do we move on? How do you change stuff like this? We'll talk about that in just a second, but before we get started, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Retirement Results presented by Active Wealth. Start building your successful retirement plan today, or let's just take a look at your retirement plan and make sure it's performing where it needs to be, at the level it needs to be performing. How do you know that gap between retirement and you know, the end, how do you know that gap's covered? How do you know that you're sort of on pace? How do you know that your portfolio is performing at its optimal level? How do you know you're not throwing money away, paying senseless fees? The only way to really know is to call Ford. You can go to retirementresults.com/plan, get a $1,500 value free portfolio analysis at no cost to you. And he'll go through all these things with you. You'll make a great friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. Ford Stokes, Retirement Results presented by Active Wealth. You can find him on TV too. He's on TV everywhere. He's on YouTube. All kinds of videos and links and stuff like that that you can get a lot of good information from. So how do we fix it? How do you move on? Okay. Winning cures all. And that's the bottom line. If you're winning, and that's what's unfortunate about how disingenuous a lot of this reporting is because the only reason they're talking about it is because Auburn's struggling. Auburn started the season off 2-4. So now it's all gotcha stuff. It's like, what can we find that's gotcha with Hugh Freeze? To sort of all the questions asked seems like they're gotcha questions, even a lot from some of the Auburn media, and everything that they can do to take a little soundbite and make it into a story, that's what they're going to do. And unfortunately, that's the situation that we're in because you're not having the success you need to have on the field right away. But if you look at you just take the three coaches that we talked about. Now, granted, none of these programs are Auburn. Auburn has a lot of higher standards. And Auburn, unfortunately for Hugh Freeze, multiple coaches over the past, 20, 30 years have had pretty quick success at Auburn. You know, in year two or year three have had really, really quick success, some even in the first year. You got Gene Chizik, who's won a national championship in year two. Gus Malzahn went to the national championship in year one. You got Terry Bowden going undefeated in year one. There's coach after coach has had a lot of times has had success early on in their career. So it's tough whenever you feel like even if you don't really look at the football that's being played, if you're just looking at the record, you would think that Auburn's going backwards in year two. But you look at these guys that Hugh mentions later in the press conference that they had time to build their culture. They had time to sort of bring all their guys in. And every single one of them, it took till that year four at those programs, which is understandable because of the program. But it took until that year four till they really – some even had a winning season. I mean, think about that Missouri – that second season that Drinkwitz was there. I mean, he lost to the in the most incredible way to the worst Auburn team I've ever seen. The Auburn team where they fumbled out of the end zone in overtime. The Brian Harsin the last season of the I think the Brian Harsin era, maybe the yeah the last I think is the last season of the Brian Harsin era. Just struggled for three seasons and then broke through and then won you know, won big time in year four. And then now he's sort of continuing it and starting off the year hot, even though they lost big to Texas A&M. They rebounded and blew out UMass, and they're playing pretty good football. So, I mean, it took it even at, you know, it seems like at any level, if you got time to develop, you got time to bring your guys in, you can have a lot of success. Kentucky, again, it's three losing seasons in a row. And then boom, you had a couple of winning seasons, and then boom, you had your 10 win season in like year six or year seven. And he's been able to kind of sustain it to having winning seasons, whether it's seven wins, eight wins. He's had two 10 win seasons. We're talking about Mark Stoops at Kentucky. They have sort of a culture in play. They're going to play hard nosed defense, and then they're going to try to figure out some way to win ugly on offense. They for whatever reason, not whatever reason, I mean, it's Kentucky. They struggle getting the big time skill guys in there. So it's a lot of smash mouth. It's a lot of ball control and just trying to keep the game close going into the fourth quarter. And then they just try to figure out ways to win. And then that's sort of the culture that they've built, and it works. And then you got Vandy, who, again, I talked about it. They only won two conference games in 3 years. Clark Lee, they've really struggled over the last three seasons. And then you start off the year, I believe they're 4-2, excuse me, and 2-1 in conference. They won two conference games already. You got a conference win against Alabama at home, and then you got a conference win on the road at Kentucky, where it's a really tough place to play. And they just continue to figure out ways to win, and it's a lot of that has to do with buy-in. A lot of it has to do with culture, and it takes time to build that, especially when you're in a bad place, especially when the program's in a bad place. And the program, Auburn's program, is in a very, very bad place, going all the way back to, you know, I guess all the way back to 2020. I mean, looking at, you know, finishing that COVID season, you know, with four losses and saying, you know, that's solid, you know, that's a solid year. You get rid of your coach, you bring in Brian Harsin, who for, you know, multiple seasons doesn't even attempt to recruit. And obviously Hugh coming in and, you know, trying his best to rebuild and reload this roster. And he's trying to do it the way that's going to take the longest. And then this year, you just have the struggles you've had at quarterback, and you've played, again, you've played good football. You're averaging more yards than you were last year per game, and you're giving up less yards per game. Your passing game is starting to develop, but you're just not quite there to be able to not make those crucial mistakes that end up costing you games, because, again, the margin is razor thin. But in order to get out of all these scenarios where everything you said is under a microscope, you got to win. It's just the bottom line. You got to figure out a way to win, and it starts this weekend. It needs to start this weekend, because as good of a football team and as good of football as Missouri's playing, they are very beatable. They are very gettable. They struggle at some of the things Auburn does really well, and I'll be anxious to see if Auburn can take advantage of those at 11 o'clock. Out of a bye week, I've had 2 weeks to prepare. I think this one, again, in theory, you would think that if Auburn is as in bad a shape as they are going to face a, you know, a ranked opponent on the road, it'd be, you know, 10, 14, 13 and a half points. You're right now, I think the spread is under six. It's going towards Auburn. So obviously late money could come in on Missouri, but it's a lot closer. Auburn's a lot closer to the people that do this for a living, that set betting lines. Auburn's a lot closer than I think some of the casuals think, and some of the people that watch football from a 50,000 foot view actually think. So I'm very anxious to see what happens this weekend. I think Hugh could do himself a lot of favors if they could figure out a way to win this one. And then once you can stack some wins, then comments like this don't become, you know, comments like this don't become a fiasco, a media fiasco where we're talking about it for weeks and we're breaking it down and we're trying to pin him with questions and gotchas and all this kind of stuff. So you got to win. Winning cures all, and I'm hoping that they can get that started this weekend. So, guys, if you haven't subscribed to thebarnauburn.com already, you need to. It's only $1 for the first month for just a little while longer. It's not going to be the $1 intro price for much longer, so you need to get in, take advantage of that, at least try it out. And see what you think. And then it's just $9.95 after that. A lot of great recruiting insight. Dropped a bunch of recruiting info yesterday. Recruiting is sort of quiet at the moment because you just about got a whole daggum class already committed. So we're starting to work on getting some intel on 2026 guys. And then there's still a few out there. There's still a few big guns out there that Auburn's trying to reel in. And we're kind of updating that daily. As well as great team info as well. So check it out. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. And you know we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.